Good morning and welcome to a new episode of the Hashtag MoLedge podcast. This is Rachel Herndon Dunn, editor of the Missouri Times, and I'm here with Alicia. Sure.
Good morning.
Our rock star writer over here at the Missouri Times. So it was a fun weekend. I think this was Alicia's first weekend with like major storms in Missouri. Is that right?
In Missouri. It was not... It was not my first tornado warning by any chance, but...
Right. Alicia went to college in Kansas.
I did go to college in Kansas. Go K-State!
Anyway. But yeah, this was the first time. So we bought my house 4 years ago, and this is the first time we actually lost power for more than a flicker.
Really?
Really, really. And so about, I think my husband said 1,300 residents in Jefferson City lost power. And it's really a part of, because I think we're on the same grid the Capitol's on, so we just really don't lose power that often, which is awesome.
Luckily, I did not lose power at my place.
Did you hear the tornado sirens?
I did.
I think I've only heard those twice since I moved here.
Heard the tornado sirens and did not find shelter.
We're going to have to work on a plan.
Because the basement in our building is locked and only the maintenance people have keys.
That concerns me for you.
But I would also be terrified to go down there.
Okay.
Because I'm scared to death of spiders. That.
I remember one of my first apartment's basements was like absolutely out of this movie Saw. It was terrifying. But anyway, in case you missed it, Jefferson City had some storms yesterday. There were tornado sirens around the Capitol. And it's a beautiful Monday now. And it looks like fall might be here. I say that every week, and yet we still have 90-degree weather. God bless Missouri. Anyway, so today, Alicia and I have our top five stories of last week. And of course, we have three top stories to look forward to this week. Very excited to share those. So number one story of last week, and it had a ton of reads, was court denies NFL, Rams, and Kroenke's attempt for arbitration, saying they cannot ignore what this lawsuit is about. And so Ben wrote this. Ben is no longer with us. He didn't die, just to be clear. Just dead to me. That's a joke. Ben has joined House Comms, so good for him. And, of course, we appreciate all the words he churned out for the Missouri Times over the last 2 years. He wrote this, and so here's the breakdown of the Rams lawsuit that's still going on. A Missouri appeals court denied the NFL's attempt to transfer the case and brush the legal showdown under the rug, allowing the lawsuit filed by the St. Louis Regional Convention and Sports Complex Authority, St. Louis City, and St. Louis County in 2017 following the departure of the team. So this lawsuit alleges that by leaving the city, a 1984 league guideline put in place after the Raiders moved to Oakland to Los Angeles was violated. So this story just keeps giving.
I have to say, I don't follow much professional football.
Well, I will say, whenever so the Rams weren't going to leave St. Louis, and then they did. And, like, there was drawing ups of new stadiums and everything. And it was a big deal when they left St. Louis. I actually went to their last home game, and that was just an aside, I guess, because I feel like I had a point, but I don't know. But a lot of tempers flared. A lot of people felt betrayed. Maybe that's what, I don't know. I'm just going to withhold any commentary on that. But the legal battle continues. And based on the amount of reads, people are still angry about it.
People love their NFL, particularly when it's a home team. So I feel like that's going to stay very popular for a while.
As a Chiefs fan, go Chiefs. Number two story of last week. Munslinger urges votes against Amendment 3, citing concerns of eminent domain violation. So Amendment 3 is the Brad Bradshaw one, right?
Yeah, it's Find Your Cures. It's the one who sets up a board that Bradshaw would be in charge of to monitor marijuana. The person who heads the board would get paid the same amount as the Chief Justice of the Missouri Supreme Court. It exercises a 15% tax.
That seems unique.
It is. I believe that it's one of the highest
it's 15% medical
marijuana taxes out there. If we went into recreational side, it would not be the highest, but solely focusing on medical marijuana, that would impose the highest tax. So basically, Munslinger said that the language in it threatens private property owners by abusing eminent domain laws.
So this board that Bradshaw would have under this amendment, it would also just find land for their research facilities, right? That's what it is?
I believe so. Part of it, the actual language that Munslinger pointed to was, as funds became available, the Land Acquisition Board shall have the authority to negotiate, acquire, and purchase property for the research campus.
That's so interesting. Anyway, so Senator Munslinger opposing Amendment 3. Also, last week, the Missouri Farm Bureau came out and said they also oppose it. They oppose all three.
Said they oppose all three medical marijuana measures.
They are supporting Prop D, right? That was which the is one the they're gas supporting. Tax. Yes.
Yes. And then they're also opposed to the minimum wage increase and Clean Missouri.
Right. So, number three. Top story of last week. In heartfelt letter, Kander bows out of the Kansas City mayoral race. So this was interesting. Jason Kander, former Secretary of State, former state representative, definitely a rising national Democratic superstar with his voter initiatives and all that jazz. He just released a book a couple months ago. Last month.
Yeah, it hit the New York Times bestseller list, I believe, too.
Really? Good for him. Anyway, so he wrote this long letter. You wrote this story, right?
Yeah.
He was just like, I've got PTSD. I've got a depression. I can't run from it anymore.
Yeah, he was basically like, it was very, very, you could tell he wrote it with a lot of emotion. Because, and he kind of takes you through his thought process and his journey. Because he was like, I only served for like 4 months. I came back alive. Basically, like,
he was only deployed for 4 months, right?
Yeah. And he was like, people had it a lot worse than me, so I can't have PTSD.
Right.
Basically was his mindset for a while. And he's like, I've got to the point now that I have to face this.
Right.
He admitted that, like, he's called the suicide hotline from the VA, and it's not the first time. And that he's going to go get help.
He suspended his campaign. He's also stepping back from his voter initiative, right?
Which is Let America Vote.
Yeah. So I've got a lot of questions from readers asking if maybe he's going to start a new initiative. Because, I mean, that's something Kander's good at. He really is trying to educate vets about PTSD and depression and just kind of take it face on. So I don't see Jason Kander just bowing out forever. I think he's going to be back.
He said he was going to be back.
He'll be back. So, but for now, Kander is throwing his weight behind Jolie Justice to run for mayor of Kansas City. Those municipal elections are in the spring. But if you want to know what's going on over there, I would recommend following Abe Rakoff on Twitter. I'm sorry if I mispronounced your name. But Kander's Twitter has slowed down a little bit, but Abe has been very active. Fourth top story last week. Chief Clerk, Administrator of the House, resigning, moving to Executive Branch. So Adam Crumless is leaving the House. He's going to the Executive Branch. He's been at the House for a decade, right?
He's actually worked in the House for 18 years. He's been Chief Clerk since 2006.
Wow. So 12 years as Chief Clerk, been in the House a while, ton of institutional knowledge there. I'm sure Governor Parson is going to find a lot of use out of Crumless there. Number five, most read story of last week. State sends 22,000 mailers to comply with judges' orders following federal law violation. So that sounds like a really big deal. You wrote this story, right?
I did. So this is kind of two things happening together. So on September 21st, the Western District of Missouri Federal Court determined that the Department of Revenue actually violated the National Voter Registration Act. because
the motor voter law,
which is the motor voter law, which because in 2017 they changed their policy where if you revised your address, they stopped giving you the forms to also change your voter registration address, which means that a lot of people, when they showed up to vote,
couldn't
vote legally.
Interesting.
So what the Secretary of State did for that is they sent out 2,404 mailers. I mean, 22,404 mailers to everyone who changed their address August 1st, 2017 after, telling them basically that you need to update
your voter registration.
Yeah.
Interesting.
By October 10th.
And in case you missed it, Wednesday is the last day to register to vote to be able to vote in November. So if you or a loved one has not registered to vote, I encourage you to get that done sooner rather than later if you plan to make your voice heard in November. So, top stories. We got three top stories that we're watching this week. Number one, today, Monday, Josh Hawley is with Vice President Pence. More so, Vice President Pence is with Josh Hawley in Missouri. They are in Springfield. They are campaigning. They are apparently having a reception-style speaking event at the Oasis Hotel and Convention Center in Springfield. Alicia will have a story about this today. There's a press call at 11 that you'll be on, right?
Correct.
So we will find out more about the vice president's visit and his support of Hawley. It looks like from the schedule they sent out to the press that they will just be in Southwest Missouri today.
That is what it appears to be, that they're gonna go to the event, the convention center, and that basically looked like it was about it.
Right on. Anyway, that's a big deal having him in town. The Attorney General has now had the president and vice president. This past weekend, he was in New York City, had a big fundraiser there. There's definitely a national push to get Hawley elected to the Senate, especially after Kavanaugh was confirmed on Wednesday.
Saturday.
It's probably a little... I'm trying to think of a metaphor, and all I can think about is Mad Max whenever they spit gasoline into the engine. But I don't know a lot about cars, so I don't know what the technical term is that for that. But anyway, it seems like the National Republicans are spitting some gasoline in the Hawley engine. Also, hit me up if you want to talk about Mad Max anytime, because I love that movie. Anyway, and what was it? I just saw some polling, right? We saw polling.
There's been so many different polls.
Oh my goodness.
About that race.
Oh my
goodness. Some have them neck and neck. Some have Hawley inching ahead. Though I don't think I've seen one with McCaskill in the lead.
Not lately.
I've seen them where they're still tied.
Because what was it? The DSCC, the Democratic Senate Campaign Committee, has McCaskill behind now. And that's never good whenever your own party is like, hey, we need to catch up. Well, but Missouri Rising Action, the 4th was on Thursday, released a poll that Hawley is leading McCaskill 52-44. And that is outside of the margin of error. The margin of error is 4%. It is a 600 sample with 59% landline, 41% mobile phone interviews. It's weighted 36% GOP, 34% Dem, 30% independent or other. This poll was conducted September 29th through the 2nd by McLaughlin and Associates. So that is interesting. It does look like the trend has Hawley winning, especially, and this was before the Kavanaugh vote.
But I also question is, what's going to happen when you get to poll day and you have more than just McCaskill and Hawley to choose from? Because Odier comes across as a very competent person.
But, see, we kind of exist in this vacuum where we go and find out the candidates. Does the average voter know who Craig Odier is?
That's remained to be seen.
And Odier is only taking votes from Hawley or McCaskill if he's out there getting his message out. So that will be interesting. It does not look like Odier was included in this poll.
I don't think he's been included in any poll.
And I mean, Missouri has, to my knowledge, never elected an independent. We've had some lawmakers change their affiliation to independent after election, but they did not win re-election. So
he did have to go out and get signature, 20,000 signatures even to get on the ballot.
Yep. And I mean, yep, he did do that. Anyway, so our second story that we're watching this week is we've got some polling out of Jefferson County. So Jefferson County is one of those bellwether counties that's remaining. And it's definitely a county that we watch to see, is there going to be a blue wave? Is there going to be a pink wave? And so from this poll, and Alicia will have a story up about this today as well. I'm sure she's very excited for her very busy day. But it looks like Jeff Rorta is going to win the county executive seat. He is up about 5 points, 39.8 to 34.9 against Dennis McGannon. But there's 25.3% undecided.
That's a lot of undecided voters.
That is a lot.
Less than a month out.
Yes. And Rorta has been hitting the ground. Gannon's been hitting the ground. They've both been working very hard. So that's a lot considering we're less than a month out now. So I also found it interesting. This poll shows, so they did a split sample, but in one of the split sample questions on SD22, Paul Whelan's seat, one has Whelan up, one has Butler up, neck and neck. Also, yeah, with 20% undecided.
That, yeah.
So SD22 is definitely a seat to watch.
It really is.
And
because even the poll that has Whelan up, it's only by 2 percentage points.
Yeah.
And as the incumbent, personally, I kind of expected him to pull away more.
Uh-huh. And I mean, Alicia will have a story about this today, but this was conducted from October 2nd to 4th. It was done by Voice Broadcasting Group out of Arlington, Texas. Was very, very interesting poll. But yeah, looks like we might have a county executive Rorta.
Maybe.
Third story we're watching this week, Get Out the Vote GOTV national ad buys. So we've got one from NRA and we've got one from AFL-CIO. They are both doing Get Out the Vote efforts here in Missouri.
And they're going to be spending a lot of money to do it.
A lot of money. So NRA is dumping 7 figures into this media campaign. They are focusing on the Missouri Senate race. The NRA's ad campaign is titled Always Missouri. And their contention is that Claire McCaskill opposes guns, and that's bad. I think this release is online, right? So if people...
Yes.
So if you want to read more about this, it's there. Another one of their points that they're touching on is her opposition to Kavanaugh. So that is also interesting. It also says, in the release, it says, McCaskill supports a ban on commonly owned rifles. Voted to deny people on secret government list their Second Amendment rights without due process, and supported President Obama's backdoor gun ban on Social Security recipients. So those are some fighting words there.
They are fighting words.
There was an interesting quote from what is his name? Chris Cox, chairman of NRA PBF, said the stakes for this election are clear. If you value your constitutional right to self-defense, vote Josh Hawley for U.S. Senate. Josh Hawley will always defend our Second Amendment freedoms. So I presume that is an ad that will resonate strongly here in Missouri.
Yes. I honestly have not seen anything from McCaskill where she's looking to take away guns or any of that. So I think I need to.
I will say McCaskill hasn't knocked on my door and asked for my guns. But I will also say that McCaskill has regularly voted along party lines when it comes to gun issues. And that can be interpreted different ways by voters.
It can. When it comes to owning guns, I realize that is a very sensitive topic.
It is. It is.
And sometimes there's so much rhetoric on both sides. The truth of the matter gets so lost in the rhetoric that you don't even realize what's actually happening.
Or maybe... You know what? I don't know where I was going to go with that. But yeah. Second Amendment, very sensitive topic here in Missouri. And NRA is going full force on that. Another full force national campaign coming in. AFL-CIO is doing a six-figure ad buy marking the historic media investment in communities of color. So they will be airing an ad in both English and Spanish. It'll run through election days. And the ad says, stand up, speak out, and be heard. Vote for good jobs and a secure retirement. Vote for affordable, quality health care. Vote for dignity, equality, and opportunity. So that sounds like it could also appeal to certain demographics. And like their ad does not specify any candidates. It doesn't.
I feel like that's an ad that's going to resonate with just a lot of people.
Yes, especially considering Senator McCaskill has been pushing relentlessly her messaging about healthcare. Yes, so if voters make that correlation between Claire McCaskill and quality healthcare or affordable healthcare.
Well, affordable and quality when it comes to healthcare are not synonymous.
That's true. But do the voters know that?
That'll be remain to be seen.
Anyway, so it looks like there might be some... It might resonate. But that will be airing, NRA ad airing. I would continue to expect more national money to go into Missouri, especially considering, like, it does not surprise me that AFL-CIO is including Missouri in their list of targeted markets, considering the vote on Prop B. Was it Prop B? Prop A?
The right to work.
Right to work.
Yeah, Proposition A.
Yes. So considering that, Missouri is clearly empathetic towards the working class. It's just, it's reactivating those voters in November to get those union and working class empathetic lawmakers into office. So that's what Alicia and I are looking at this week. We're looking at the campaigns, because now, for the most part, all campaigns who know what they're doing have their yard signs out. They have those 4x8s out. That's what they've been doing for the last week or so. If you haven't done that yet, you might want to do that. I'm just saying. But there's a lot of hecticness. Is that a word? Hecticness?
We just made it.
Frenzy. There's a frenzy that's being activated now. People have now transitioned from introducing themselves to voters to activating those voters. And it will continue on this week. Keep us in the loop as to what's going on in your neighborhood with lawmakers. We want to know what you all are seeing and hearing. If you're voting in a poll, let us know. Or if you get a poll call, let us know. I love knowing about those.
Do you ever get poll calls?
I don't. I did get a mailer last week. I got a mailer. It was from the it was from the Republican Senatorial Committee, not the state one, the national one. And it said, it was an anti-McCaskill one. It was not authorized or whatever with Josh Hawley. But it said, Mick tax problems, Mick airplane McCaskill or something. It was very clever. It was very fancy looking. It was black and it had like gold glitter on it.
Ooh, that sounds fancy.
Yes, it stuck out by my old decor and my governing in the mail. Now everyone knows what I get in the mail. But that's who I am as a person. Anyway, was very excited about that because I feel left out sometimes. But whatever. I will say on Saturday, we went to the Parson family fall festival at the governor's mansion. My children adored it. There was a hay maze, which I'm sure you would love, right, Alicia?
Yes.
Alicia loves hay. which is like an ongoing internal joke. There's a hay maze, and it was good to see Dave Griffith was out there. He's looking to replace Jay Barnes. Saw several candidates out there. Saw a lot of official staff. Saw a lot of normal people, which is nice to get out of our bubble sometimes and see. At the end of the day, the governor's mansion is beautiful and everyone is truly proud of this capital city.
Did you guys get rained on?
Loves caramel apples. I did not, because I'm that person who like always has weather apps up, and so we left 10 minutes before the rain was supposed to begin. But there was kettle corn, there was caramel apples. If you get the Whispering Gallery email, because you're a subscriber, I included a picture that made me laugh. The governor and first lady were playing cornhole, and it looked like the first lady was kicking butt and was really happy about it. So there's a tweet. I don't know if I pulled it off of her account or the governor's, but they were having a good time. I didn't see anyone miserable. Now that I think about it, I don't even think I remember hearing any kids crying.
There were sheep there. Really?
And so Harper I think this is the first time she'd ever seen a sheep in real life.
Really?
Me too. I mean, I'm joking. I think.
I feel like we should have her do mutton busting.
Yeah. She would love that. And so we have a book with all the farm animals, and every time she gets to the sheep, she pets the sheep and then she like growls at it. And I don't know if like she can't go baa or what, but she met the sheep, she growled at the sheep, she screamed at the sheep, she giggled and stomped her feet. It was adorable. There was also a turkey. Big Tom turkey, I think that's what those are called. Little boy turkey. And they were doing turkey calls, and it was gobbling, and it was an absolutely magical autumn event.
And I'm sad I missed it.
Yeah. Next year you'll have to go with us, because I'm not going to let the kids like not go. Parker had a great time. Parker is 8. He really enjoyed all the free stuff, which is awful, but he's just at that age where he's like, oh yeah, I need a free pin. Oh yeah, I need a new bracelet. But he had a great time. Scholastic was there, so we got some new books. He is a fan of caramel apples, so, and they let you pick your own toppings to put on them.
That sounds fancy.
Yes, and the K brothers were playing, so there was festive music. All around successful event. Great job to the governor's office and the governor's mansion for putting together such an awesome event that obviously everyone enjoyed. I guess I'll start. I would just go ahead and mark off all the Saturdays in October 2019 and just plan to be there. Of course, keep us in the loop. We'll keep you in the loop. And thank you for listening to another episode of the #MillEdge Podcast.